Good morning, Fairview. Today's reading comes from 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. In a large house, there are utensils not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for special use, some for ordinary. All who cleanse themselves of the things I've mentioned will become special utensils, dedicated and useful to the owner of the house, ready for every good work. Shun youthful passions, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with stupid and senseless controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, patient, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, and that they may escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will.
Thank you again to the worship leaders, to the staff, Cindy, Mike, for having me. As it was shared before, my name is Reverend William Moses Somerville. I must say that I'm excited to be here at Fairview simply because this is, in essence, a homecoming, coming home gathering for me. The reason why I say that is I have stood in this sacred space before as a public servant, as it relates to political activity. And also, I was fortunate enough to be elected twice as your 48th Congressional District Delegate. With that said, we're here full circle. Now I'm here professing God's word as I seek to live out God's word all the same. So yes, once again, this is a homecoming. Let's celebrate and what have you. Also, I would like to acknowledge that I serve as a pastor, of Kingdom Come Community Church, which is a sister church of ours, a Fairview, of the American Baptist Churches USA. We do not belong to the Evergreen region like yourselves. We belong to the American Baptist Rochester, Genesee region, all the way out in New York, because they share in our theological pinnings and understandings of being social justice minded, welcoming and affirming, as well as being mission driven minded. And so for the members of Kingdom Come Community Church that have joined us, if we were meeting together in the sanctuary in our great Baptist tradition, I would ask for all the members of Kingdom Come Community Church to stand. However, virtually, all the members of Kingdom Come Community Church, I need you to stay. with that said, let us go to the second letter written to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Not 2 Timothy 2, but 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 20. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. These words faithfully recorded. In a large house, there are utensils, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for some special use, some for ordinary. All who cleanse themselves of the things I have mentioned will become special utensils, dedicated and useful to the owner of the house, ready for every good work. Shun youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, have nothing to do with stupid and senseless controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, patient, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, and that they may escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. I have read for our hearing and edification, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, doing, and lovers of God's word. A title we can tag up on this text, a subject we can connect to this sermon, is on this thought. In the meantime, there's a book by the spiritual guru or spiritualist Ilyana Van Sant, who has a book titled In the Meantime. And what I have come to learn, not just from the book, not just from the title, but with the phrase in the meantime, it can really be a mean time. As we currently look at our society today, I think it's safe to say we're in a mean time. Now, some of you all may not know, but I am a Midwestern guy, raised as a Southern gentleman. And growing up, there was a phrase on our local town radio that would say, in the meantime and in between time, if you can't hang with the big dog, stay on the porch. Now, what that would suggest is further asserting and affirming the fact that when we are in between something, things can be a little challenging. And what I also find interesting with you all as a congregation is that you all are in a mean time as well, on the backdrop of the context of our current society, in which I am here, obviously, because you all are without pastor right now, which being without pastor can be a very mean time. But it also is in between time. It presents options, but it also presents opportunities. Then there are obligations that are currently not being met when we are a shepherdless church or a church that has no leadership in position right now. And it begs the question for us as a community, who are we really? This is where we meet our text, where we find, as some scholars would suggest, it would be Paul writing to Timothy, or just a person from the school of thought of Paul who's writing to a younger generation or a community on how to navigate being in community as it relates to knowing God, loving God, and living out God's will. And so one of the things I would like to explore in this text, and we'll walk through this thing exegetically, we'll go through the scriptures, is how when we're in the meantime, we'll find some things that we come up against. And those things being that we'll question convention in the context of our tradition. But not only will we explore and question convention in the context of our faith tradition, but also in the meantime, further explores what it means to be in community and a communal people. And lastly, not only are we questioning convention, not only are we exploring and examining our community, but also being in the meantime suggests there will be and we will come across controversy. And one thing that I love about Fairview Community Church, one thing I love about coming to my homecoming celebration is the fact your community, you people are some controversial people. And I love every bit of it. celebrate it, affirm it, and further push to challenge it all the same as it relates to who you all will be leaderless right now. And that's great opportunity. Let's first look at verses 20 through 21 again. Verses 20 and 21 again. In a large house, there are utensils not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for some special use, some for ordinary. All who cleanse themselves of the things I have mentioned will become special utensils, dedicated and useful to the owner of the house, ready for every good work. Here's where we find ourselves, and the writer more specifically, questioning convention. As I shared earlier, this would be alluded to Paul's writing and writing to Timothy. When Paul would often talk about the church, when Paul would often talk about the house of God, it was often in the context of a body, with us being the body of Christ, with us being connected through our flesh, one body, many members. It was all kinds of body stuff going on, body work going on, but not here. We're being challenged to say, we have some shiny utensils over here. We have some not so shiny utensils. But through that, as those utensils are unique in their way, collectively, what makes these collective utensils special. And so, when we are sitting in the meantime, in the context of where we are, I just want to stop by to remind you that you are special. You're not like your average church. You're not like your average Christian, because you're putting convention into question, not minimizing the tradition that we come from. Most specifically, I would say it's okay to be traditional. The challenge is when we find ourselves conventional. Convention has its place in everything. I think about the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a very traditional prayer, but it's not so much a conventional prayer, especially during Jesus's time, because in the opening stanza of Jesus questioning convention, the convention of that time, where if you were to pray out loud, the only name that was to be uttered out loud was Caesar's name. So just in the opening statements of Jesus's prayer, what we call either the Lord's Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer, or the Model Prayer, whichever fits your tradition, you still can challenge convention by saying the name of God is to be hallowed over the government's name. All right? So when we're in the meantime, understand you are a special people calling into question convention in the midst of the Christian tradition that we have. But not only are we called to question convention, but we are also called to explore what it means to be community. This is where we can further solidify our identity. And the scripture suggests how we are to operate as a community in the house, as the church, with each other. Let's look at that. Let's go to verse 22. Shun youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with stupid and senseless controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. I highlight, this scripture focuses on the community and how to be community in the house, okay? And because we are called to be community in the house, sometimes when we're in between time, in the meantime, it creates some quarrels and unnecessary quarrels. And so I would venture to suggest and I would venture to offer up that this is not the time to quarrel with one another. Let's further get to know each other and let's further identify who we will be as a community with not having a leader versus when we had a leader, or more specifically, a pastor. And when we talk about a pastor, one of the things that I wrestle with, especially as a pastor myself, is what is my job description versus what is my role? And I think I'm going to land on the side of defining my role versus simply a job description, because my role will suggest about how I love you and how I can best love and serve you and serve others as well as serve in the world and society. And so as we navigate and further examine and explore who we are and what we have accomplished as a community, let's examine what our role will be in this community and in this house of God. And the writer gives us some things and a rubric and a guide to work with. Faith, love, peace, righteousness, and we'll just throw in this for good flair, justice, right? So yeah, and that's the gift of faith, that we focus on what we don't know versus what we do know. That's the purpose of faith. That's why we have faith. We exhaust ourselves to our limit and then give it up to God to focus on what we don't know. That's what God specializes in, versus what we do know. So not only are we called in the meantime, in between time, at this time, to question convention and explore who we are as a community, but we are called for controversy. Let's look at verse 24. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, and apt teacher, patient, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, and that they may escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do the devil's will, or referred to in the gender capacity, his will. When I examined and explored about what we are and how we are as a community, that's how we operate in the house. But now that I am at this point of controversy, the writer is giving a suggestion on how we are to operate outside the house, okay? And being outside the house demands that we continue to call out the devil and evil that we see in this world, continue to call out what's wrong with our society. We know we have normal way of doing things, but is it the natural way of doing things? And sometimes that's the crux of how we celebrate in our faith tradition, the cross, in that we have to deal with this vertical relationship we have with God, but yet this horizontal relationship in how we deal with each other outside the house, okay? And so to be in the meantime as a community questioning convention, that demands controversy. That demands controversy. And that controversy is to call out evil for what it is. Racism is evil. It's sin. Homophobia is evil. It's sin. Classism is evil and it's sin. Imperialism is evil and sin. Colonialism is evil and sin. We are called to be a church and a community of controversy in the midst of the meantime. And this is what I like about moments and spaces of the meantime, and that is this.
that things get very clear when we're in a mean time. And so, as we navigate this mystery of life on this journey of faith, this is why we have Christ. Christ is who will serve, as the Hebrews say, the author and the finisher of our faith. I know sometimes you may feel like you are going backwards, but understand in your going backwards, you are going forward. I know we sit in a society where we feel like we're going, that things are moving back versus progressing forward. Well, I would like to submit, as a preacher would often do, heck, we Baptists, right? And I would like to submit the sport of rowing. And you know, in the sport of rowing, you have a team of individuals who are going backwards in order to move forward. What does that look like? Well, when you have this team of rowers who are rowing backwards, right? They're going forwards. Well, what's exciting about it, if you ever watch the Olympics, is that when this team of rowers are going backwards yet moving forward, they have in front of them what is called a coxswain. And what the coxswain does is look ahead as they're going backwards, even though they're going forward. And the coxswain will tell them if you have to move hard on a right rudder or you have to move hard on a left rudder, but all the while you're going towards a goal, and your job and your responsibility is to just keep rowing. And so, people of God, people of faith, as we are called to follow Christ, just keep rowing. And while we're rowing, if we need to look up, I would say look up to Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith. And in so doing, we'll know exactly what God has called us to, exactly where God has us going, and what and who God is, and we live, move, and have our being. God bless you.
Servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant. Make me a servant today.
Thank you once again for having me. I want to obviously acknowledge and celebrate the pastor you had just as much as the pastor you will have. And I ask that that individual will solely love you like God loves you, can love you all in the midst of your inconsistencies, weaknesses, and failures. And it is my prayer, on behalf of who that individual will be, I ask
that you love that person in the midst of their inconsistencies, weaknesses, and failures all the same. Receive this benediction as we go. God, it's a good day. It's a day that you have made, and we still will choose to rejoice and be glad in it in spite of it. And God, as we embark upon this week, we know you know exactly what this week holds, but we don't know. And so we ask that you move us through this week where the path that seems to be crooked, make it straight. If there's confusion, God, I ask for clarity. Where there's hurt, may there be healing. If there is pain, I give us up as a priority. And where there is lack, please show your love. Be with us now and forevermore. This prayer we offer in your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you.